No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I got somebody who I consider to be kind of like the architect of the sound of a lot of the music that you guys listen to out there on a daily basis. We got my guy, Energy Beats. How you feeling, man?
Feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. I'm just, you know, chilling. Really just living for real.
Right. You spend a lot of time out in LA now at this point?
At this point, this is probably the most recent city I visit a lot. Like, I've probably been out here like 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How are you enjoying it?
It's going pretty good. Like, I feel like it's, I love it so much out here because it's so opposite of Michigan.
Because
like,
there's so much going on, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, really, it's Michigan is so dead. It's like, you come out here and it's a whole different world. Like, I can eat past 1 o'clock if I want to. So, it's like, it's smooth.
But that's a different thing, because like when you're back in Michigan, it's kind of like, well, we got to make this music because what the fuck else are we doing, right?
Exactly. That's really how all this shit really came about, because it's like we just in the crib getting creative, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I created a lot of this shit really just my senior year trying to figure out something to do.
But if you had been surrounded by bad bitches and crazy ass house parties and people doing all, you know, like all these things that in LA, realistically, if you want to go to a different fucking mansion, kickback, smoke out, brand opening, whatever the fuck, I mean, you got an opportunity like every night to do that shit. And that's a big part of what people got to realize is that if you really want to grind and make something out of yourself, a lot of times you got to start turning that kind of shit down, you know?
That's crazy, because like I'm totally opposite from that shit. Like, I really don't need the party life down there. Cause like, I just, you know, so I can get past that shit. For real.
I've gotten to the point now of working so hard doing interviews, doing content, which is basically like my equivalent of what you're doing in terms of making beats and stuff, where now I'm kind of like, all right, I got to start like going out more. I got to start being around people more I've gotten to the point of just working so hard every day.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, fuck, maybe I got to enjoy the fruits of my labor a little bit more and make more connections. Because, you know, anytime I go to a club or a party, I might meet 10 people that are good opportunities to interview, you know?
Facts. Yeah. And that's kind of like, that's my thing, too, like, getting out. Because I didn't meet Rio for the first time until, like, early 2020. For the first time. Like, I didn't know nobody. Like, I didn't know none of the rappers. I ain't meet them in person except Grounds, because we damn near grew up together. So
right. Okay, so take me back to the early days in terms of your upbringing and stuff. You always been from Michigan since you were a kid?
I grew up in Beecher. It's like the outskirts. It's the whole community. Like, it's really Flint, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
I grew up there. That's where Jay, Chris, like kid, Grounds, you know, we all grew up in that area. But I grew up there. I had a good childhood, you know what I'm saying? I ain't had no struggles, you know what I'm saying? I lived basically the same down there life that they did, you know what
I'm
saying?
You had both parents?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had down there the same life as, like, you know, Grounds and them. But it's, like, really just cool as hell, so, yeah.
Were you super interested in music from a young age, or what kind of stuff were you into in like elementary school, junior high, that kind of shit?
I started making beats when I was 3 years old.
Three?
Like, yeah.
What kind of equipment do you have at three?
I was on MTV Music Generator. Like, I started on that playing on the PlayStation 1.
Oh, wow.
And I was making beats on there. And then I got like my first like PC when I was like 6 or some shit like that, and I've been making beats on Fruit Loops like 3 like long time ago.
What do you think it was that made you so drawn to it? It seems like if you were doing it that young, then there must be something in your brain that was just bringing you in that direction, right?
Yeah, like my pops used to make music. Like,
oh, really?
He used to rap. He used to make beats. So like, he kind of, you know, brought me in, taught me how to do this shit. Like, I don't remember. I have like little, like, flashbacks of like when I was younger type shit, making beats on the PlayStation, but it's like all my life I just knew how to do that shit because I'm around it.
That's crazy, because now that I have a kid, I'm always like thinking, like, is she gonna just see the shit that I do, and is she gonna automatically get interested in it because it's just what I'm doing? But then at the same time, like, 3-year-old, I mean, that's a hard sell, especially something complicated like making beats. You would think that that's going to be kind of hard to make a kid interested in that young.
Yeah, it's really just, it's like, it got to be like an organic type thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, you are a product of your environment, so whatever, however, you know what I'm saying? It's either you going to, you know, you're not going to fuck with it or you're going to fuck with it. It's just either or.
I mean, if your dad had been out in the front yard playing basketball every day,
I would have been hooping.
You probably would have been like, fuck, I want to play basketball.
Exactly.
For sure. Was your dad like, what kind of music do you remember listening to at that young age? And like, what was being emphasized in that regard?
Shit. Like, I was listening to like 3-6 Mafia, UGK, everything that was going on West Coast in the 90s.
Like, that's the stuff he was into. Okay.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff. I didn't fuck with music like up to date music until like 2011.
Oh,
like,
really? Oh, so you were mostly schooled on the classics.
Yeah, yeah. All the old shit, 70s Isley Brothers, all type of just old genuine shit. So.
Oh yeah. So it was just always around in the house and you're just naturally drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. That's why the samples are like, I'm up to par. Like, I know what samples I'm sampling. Like, I know majority of the time. That's why I have to, like, with certain songs like White Jumper, like, I didn't know nothing like that. That's why I had to dig deep into like different kind of samples. But majority of the samples, I know what I'm sampling.
What is the sample in Whack Jumper?
So it's like a Italian artist.
Oh,
his
really?
Name Charles okay. Asenor, something like that.
So you were never turned off to the idea of working with samples? Because I feel like a lot of artists now, they are kind of like, we're not going to make as much money if we use samples. Mm-hmm. So they never even get into that mentality, right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like when you like come from like where we come from, you don't really think about like
you weren't thinking about streaming services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just creative. Like, I grew up on sampling, so it's kind of like I wasn't drawn away from the idea of sampling. Now when I'm in the game, now it's like, okay, maybe I need to hold back on some samples. But it's like that kind of shit is fun to me. Like taking what somebody else did and flipping it into your own way of doing something. So I'm not drawn away from it, but now I can kind of like hold back, you know what I'm saying? I might fuck with like some free loops or some shit, but I'm not really drawn away from that shit.
Definitely. Did you know anybody, like who were the first people that got on your beats? Just friends of yours, or did you ever make beats and then your dad hopped on?
Okay. So it's like two parts of this shit. Like, I used to make beats and my pops used to rap on them bitches, but you know, that was like, I ain't never had nobody else rap on them, but that was like when I was like 6, 7, 8,
right?
You know what I'm saying? In those ages. But it was a long time. I was just making beats from like 10 to like 18. I didn't have nobody rapping on them. So I was just making beats. But the first person other than my pops to rap on the beat was YSR Grahams.
Okay.
And that's how really the whole shit started, because Grahams rapped on it, and then he introduced my shit to Rio.
Oh.
So it was just kind of, Grahams really the GOAT for real.
So you were just making all these beats, but not really like thinking about the, because you know, there's kind of like two parts. If you want to be a producer, there's like the art of like actually making the shit, and then there's kind of like the networking, because nobody's going to hop in your beats unless you can get it into the right hands.
Yeah, because it's like, you got to have that. And that's a part where I feel like that came pretty easy to me, like the networking part, because the rappers will talk for me. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't have to reach out, you know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like my work would just show, you know what I'm saying? But that's where I feel like I'm learning too, like networking and shit. Like that kind of shit is just coming to me now, like where I'm actually having to do it for myself, you know what I'm saying?
Right, because like I could imagine even when people see this fucking interview, there's going to be so many people that never thought like, oh, I would love to see an Energy Beats interview.
Yeah,
but they're going to be like, that's that dude. Fuck. Like, I heard his tag on 100 million songs, and yeah. I know that he's yeah. legendary. I got to figure out what he's about, you know? So, like, yeah. you know, yeah. doing that kind of networking side of things could definitely help take shit to the next level. And then the next level of that is when you see dudes really becoming, like, a brand, where you have yeah. somebody like yeah. a Metro or a, yeah. you know, I mean, DJ Khaled is in his own fucking world, but, you know, like, that yeah. kind of thing yeah. where you start to yeah. really become, like, a personality that people want to work with, not just because they like the beat, but because they fuck with you and the brand that you've sort of invented for yourself, right?
Exactly. And that's the goal. Like, I want to that's crazy you said all the names, because like I want to get to that level, you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of shit is like where the name itself get people turned, you know what I'm saying? Like, my tag is so gonna, you gonna know that shit gonna boom, you know what I'm saying? So
definitely yeah. There's like a certain, well, when you started versus like now, how do you feel like your style kind of developed? Like, what kind of shit were you drawn towards in the beginning, and how did your style sort of start to take shape and become like the sort of signature style that we think of now?
Yeah. In the beginning, okay, you say in the beginning, like as like early on, like 2019, something
sure.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I say like in the beginning was like I was more drawn to like that dark, like crazy shit, like in the beginning, fast, dark shit, you know what I'm saying? Cause that's the type of shit we was attracted to, you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of music like we had going on, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of shit was like what I wanted to hear at the time, you know what I'm saying? But like, I say it developed into like a groovy sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where Coochie Beats came from, you know what I'm saying? Where I really wasn't even trying to be groovy when I was working with Jay. It just happened that way, you know what I'm saying? But that kind of aspect came from me like loving Pharrell music. Like, Pharrell music was like the craziest, grooviest drum kind of pattern. So it's kind of like I'm inspired by that. So I kind of brought it out in my groovy beats later on, like early 2020. You know what I'm saying?
So you had a time period where you were making shit that was more just like hard street type beats, and then yeah. you sort of like started to introduce more and more melodies and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of shit, it just helped complete the sound. You know what I'm saying? It like, cause you can't just have all aggressive, but you can't just have all groovy coochie shit. It's got to be all mixed in one.
Definitely, cause I mean, when I think about, I mean, if you go to like 2019 or 2020, even then it wasn't, you know, early 2020, it wasn't like as obvious. Like now when you think about Flint, when you think about Detroit, it's kind of like, wow, there's like a really crazy number of artists who have blown up out of there, and like damn near all of them have hopped on your production. But yeah, what were you listening to? Were you listening to a lot of these artists? Like when you met Rio, had you already heard him? Did you already know like what he was doing, or were there any artists in particular that you were kind of in your head making beats for?
I say like, I heard a Rio. I didn't hear a Rio like early on, but like when I started making beats for Grams, that's when I started to tap in into like the whole sound of Detroit, because I didn't start listening to Detroit until 2018. Well, I'm going to say when T-Grizzly dropped First Day Out, that's when I started listening to Detroit shit.
Right. I mean, yeah. I feel like a lot of people, if they probably don't want to admit it or not, that's kind of, there's a lot of truth to that. That song was so big, and it kind of inspired, I think, a lot of different artists to sort of take their own direction from there.
Exactly. But it's kind of like, oh, and of course, I ain't going to say I haven't heard of Detroit shit, because Doughboys Cash Out had the shit going crazy, like 2013, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was going crazy. So I remember all that shit, but I didn't start personally listening to it until T-Grizzly. So, like, I was listening around that age. I was, like, probably listening to Baby Smooth, probably, like, a Babyface Ray, you know, around that time. So it was kind of like I was listening to that. But I didn't hear a Rio until I started making those kind of beats. And when he dropped Shit Talking, that's when I was like, oh, who the fuck is Rio? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, and that kind of shit right there, because that was the biggest song to ever come out of Flint, like in years. Like, hit a million views. Like that a million views, that's like winning a plaque, winning a Grammy for real. So, you know, I was listening to I started listening to Rio when he dropped Shit Talking, and then I started getting tapped into like Drago, Bino, like all of them, like all around the same time. So,
right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. So, what was the first song that you had actually go crazy that like you did the production on that you felt like, all right, this is it. I'm actually going somewhere with this. This is actually starting to work.
I'll say the song that changed it for me was, it's like two parts of this. It's when Rio dropped Dumb and Dumber.
Uh-huh.
When Rio dropped Dumb and Dumber, and it was Energy and Reckless. That's when I was still in high school at the time. So I'm like, damn, like this hit 100K.
A little bit of clout goes a long way in high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when Legendary dropped, that Legendary was like different.
To me, that's like one of the best examples of your sound, or like just such a raw embodiment of it, like just a perfect execution of your type of beat.
Yeah, yeah. And that was crazy because that beat came about like I was working a job at the time, so I'm just like I went to sleep like around 9 o'clock, but I woke up like hearing a melody in my head at like 3 o'clock a.m. like I just got up, got on bed, I just made the beat and just sent it to him that night. And
wow,
that's crazy. Kind of that's crazy how that worked. Like that was just crazy, bro.
But then like, do you ever, you know, just you make the beat and you think like, damn, somebody could go crazy on this. Did you hear that song and just think like, oh wow, they really did go crazy on this, like they did exactly what they had to do to make this shit a smash?
Yeah. And a lot of the times, I ain't gonna lie to you, I try not to think about what somebody could do, because like seeing like something like Legendary pop out of nowhere, and everything that happened made sense. But I didn't know it was gonna be that big. So, but of course, Rio had buzz at that time. So I'm already thinking he gonna do Rio. You know what I'm saying? But that song like was just kind of crazy. But I try not to think about what it could be and just make this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Was like, you know, first time you met Rio, you're kind of, you know, you're in high school, you're like, you know, a little bit more like a quiet kid, sort of observing, taking shit in. You meet somebody like Rio, he's been in the streets for all these years, he's wilding out, he's got all kinds of amenities, I'm assuming, around and stuff. Like, what were there any of these rappers where you met him for the first time and you were like, holy fuck, like I'm dealing with some serious ass people right now?
Not really, because it's like, of course, I don't live that lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I done seen people, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't like, you know, like a shock. Like, oh, man, like nah. Because it's kind of like you just see it. Like, you can see it in it. Like, even though you ain't part of it, you can still see it, like, as you grown up, you know what I'm saying? So.
Well, I feel like you probably get, like, a good version of a lot of people, too. Because you could have, like, the most street dude in the world. And, you know, if they're smart when it comes to dealing with a producer, they should be trying to butter you up, be as nice as possible, like make you happy, make sure you're having a good time, because they want to be the one who's getting, you know, your favorite beat and not your 50th favorite beat from that month, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just got a brain funk. yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Wait. Hold on. What you just said? I just had a brain fart.
No, we could just like cut that out or whatever. All
right.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're gonna get like the best version of a lot of artists,
sure.
You know, because they're wanting you to give them like the best beat that you're gonna make that month, and not like your 50th best beat. So you know, I feel like a lot of times they're gonna be on kind of their best behavior when it comes to producers, or at least they should be if they're thinking right.
Yeah, I mean, shit, is it really just being them, to be honest though, because it's that's how like all this shit is like literally just being us, you know what I'm saying? Like we ain't going in there really just trying to do anything. Like that's how all this, you really just having fun with all this shit, to be honest.
That, so. I mean, I know I'm not like necessarily tuned into all of it, but it does kind of seem like a lot of the Flint and Detroit dudes have some sort of like a brotherhood type vibe going, because realistically, like, they all know that this city was not that popping a couple of years ago, and that, you know, it's kind of like when you look at Atlanta or LA, it's like such a big scene that people have room to sort of start hating on each other and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It feels like Flint and Detroit are in a pretty good place in that regard. Like, you know, the Yachty tape comes out, you got everybody on that tape. Mm-hmm. That was like, you know, that was a good look for the whole community, I think.
For real, because it's just kind of like when you don't have the resources, or you don't have like the resources, or you don't have like the buzz, or necessarily even like attraction to the city. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just, all you gotta do is sit together. You know what I'm saying? Like, there ain't no other choice. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that, seeing that respect level, seeing from Flint to Detroit. You know what I'm saying? And even if, like, I think Detroit a little bit more, you know, kind of a little bit more separated, but at the same time, you can still see, like, they really got a good brotherhood in their area. So, you know what I'm saying? And they pretty big, so. Mm. But in Flint, we ain't got no other choice, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we just like, one city. Like,
you either do or die, pretty much, because it's like, you all kind of see, like, that there ain't necessarily, like, good opportunities happening if you don't do it, you know?
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so then, you're starting to get your name there. Like, do people just start reaching out to you, or how do you go about, you know, sort of getting in the studio with more and more people, or how did you think to yourself, like, maybe I just want to be Rio's producer, or were you like, no. I want to like get out there and like really start communicating with a lot of different people?
I feel like the goal always been like, I want to be like number one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, even if like I knew, like, I'm doing this Flint shit right now, but I'm like, I wanna be number one. You know what I'm saying? So the goal always been reaching out and going past Flint, but at the same time still keeping Flint. You know what I'm saying? So I always wanna be involved with this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Because now you've been working with all kinds of like big ass artists and stuff. Is that, I'm assuming that you're probably not in the studio with a lot of them, and they just want beats, and you're just sending shit through, like. Has there been anybody that really kind of amazed you that reached out?
I feel like I can't even think off the top of my head, because I really don't be thinking about that kind of shit though. I say the first big one was Yachty.
Yeah.
Like Yachty.
What was that conversation like?
He was just like, he hit me and he was like, bro, send me a pack, because I've been trying to he said he's trying to find me like for months or some shit like that. He didn't know where to find me or some shit. So I'm like, yeah. So it was really just good just tapping in with him, because that kind of shit, that was like the first big shot like I ever had. Like, Yachty was like big, like 2016, like that whole year, that changed the way of hip hop, I ain't gonna lie. So that kind of shit, seeing Yachty, that was like different.
How old are you right now?
20. Yeah.
So 2016, you were 15. That puts in perspective too, because like a lot of the interviews I was doing at that time and stuff, I forget that, like, you know, you're talking to a 20, 21 year old artist or producer, like they were watching that shit or listening to that shit when they were at, like, they're going through puberty. They're in the middle of being 15 and just sort of figuring life out. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of like surreal sitting up right here. Like, it's like, nigga, I was sitting up here watching every interview, like, out of all my idols. So that's kind of crazy. So,
hey, you earned it, man.
Yeah.
Do you, I noticed you don't got like jewelry on and stuff. Do you, like, what's your perspective on that? Because a lot of these artists that you're dealing with, I mean, they're buying as much jewelry as they possibly can.
Yeah. I feel like my perspective on jewelry, like, for a long time was like, that shit kind of stupid. I ain't gonna lie. I be looking at jewelry like it's kind of stupid, but I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I can't say I don't like that shit. That shit look hard, but I'd rather buy, you know what I'm saying, a car, or I'd rather buy, I don't even necessarily buy clothes. Like, I'd rather just buy something that's just more, that seems more valuable to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like jewelry that much value though.
Yeah, and the thing that people do wrong is that they buy jewelry before they got, like, you know, a nice house or an apartment or a car, you know, all the car, apartment, all these kind of things make a lot more sense in terms of building your life up. If you're going to go straight to the jewelry, I mean, yeah, that's to me, that's not the best best plan.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's kind of mentality of like a lot of hood niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like that's just kind of like the chain and the flash is more important than the, you know what I'm saying, the actual wealth, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of shit I just stay away from, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, do you think long term though? Like is your mind stayed on how you're going to make, you know, a career for yourself that's going to have you still living good 20 years from now and not just right now?
For sure. That kind of stuff. I feel like so many people, like seeing like people's experiences kind of shape the way that I even handle money today. You know what I'm saying? Seeing like, even like how my mama and even like just family generations, you know, of how different experiences, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew I never wanted to work a job because I'm like, that's modern day damn near slavery, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like seeing different shit, you know what I'm saying, kind of shaped the way, like, I don't want to do certain shit, you know what I'm saying? Even though, like, family do whatever, like, it's good intentions, but, you know, certain shit just not cool.
That's so true, though, because I feel like when I was young, my mind state was on, like, my mind state was not on like how am I going to be the freshest dude around or how am I going to be stunting harder than other people in my grade or whatever. My mind state was on, I don't want to have a job, so I'm going to figure out how to live as cheaply as possible and how to make money from different ways. And I always knew like if I have like a big ass car payment every month or whatever, it's just going to make it harder and harder for me to not work, which was my number one goal. It was like, I just don't want to have to wake up every day and go do something I don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's facts. Cause I think that taught me. I got a job. I was detailing cars. Every day I was like in that bitch, just stressing. Like and at the time I'm dropping shit with the whole Flint. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like that shit just taught me. I don't want to ever be in that predicament ever in my life. That kind of shit is gone.
Yeah, I got those memories too, like thinking about being a kid and all I wanted to do when I was like 15, 16 was ride bikes, go out with my friends and ride bikes, do all this BMX shit. And I just remember like I worked at the grocery store like 3 days out of the week, and there would just be days where all my homies were like, oh, we're going to Boston, or we're taking the train, and we're going to go ride or go to this skate park or whatever. And it just killed me that I was missing out on a fun ass experience so I could work for $5 an hour in the grocery store. Yeah, that killed my fucking soul. So that just really helped spur everything for me. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Definitely. So what is your preferred way of working with artists? Because I see like there's a lot of different styles, you know, like my boy Ron Ron, the producer, who's one of the hottest producers out of LA. I had him pull up to the studio with AD, who you just met the other day, and he just popped in, gave him the hard drive, downloaded like however many beats, boom, he was kind of like out the door. He was in and out in like 20-30 minutes, and I was like, that's interesting, because you know, I know a lot of producers who would much rather, you know, sit there, cook up a beat, have the artist start kind of flowing on like a rough skeleton of the beat, and then they keep adding more sounds until they feel like they got it exactly where they want it. There's like a lot of different styles of how a producer can work with an artist. What's your preferred one?
My preferred, I'm kind of in and out too, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of in and out because like I kind of want to feel the artist, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of times with the artist is feeling like they sometimes don't want to be fucking with, like sitting there want to be having them cooked up, you know what I'm saying? I know that even some artists do want that shit, you know what I'm saying? But I'm more of an in and out, like I got some shit on my phone, you know what I'm saying? I'm just tear this bitch down, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's how I come in and kind of, you know, address that, but it's just I don't know. I feel like this is just the way I am, though. I'm kind of not a very social person like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not one of the ones that walk up, you know, like, well, I want you to rap like this on the beat. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of like, I walk in, I want you to be shocked. by my shit that just got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, there's some producers who, like, definitely are in it because they want to kind of be a rapper in a sense. Like, they want to be in the studio smoking weed with everybody, mm-hmm. doing all the same shit that rappers are doing, taking photos with everybody, which is cool because, I mean, that shit is, you know, it might be good for your brand in the long run.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that is interesting how that's, like, a choice that you kind of make is, like, how much... Because, I mean, realistically, if you pull up on an artist and you spend a half hour kicking it, showing them the beats, and then you're out of there, that's just more time than you could be in the lab making more shit, and every mm-hmm. beat you make is a different chance that it's going to go.
But I will say it is a good thing to have that like presence of being a part of the song, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because that do separate you from being a beat maker and a producer,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like producers, you are more able to lay out a song, you know what I'm saying, bring these different sounds in, bring, you know what I'm saying, like more DJ Khaled, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But a beat maker, which I am right now, you know what I'm saying? I'm just dropping beats.
But have you thought about making that distinction or making that move of like trying to make your own songs and like you go get a verse from this artist and then you make the beat exactly how you want it and then you kind of own it? Have you thought about doing that direction?
For sure. That kind of stuff is going to come naturally. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like me progressing and me just wanting to make that move. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff already in the works, you know?
Right. Yeah, one thing that kind of surprised me when I was getting ready for this interview is there was a couple different songs that I went to that I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to listen to that song because that song had energy beat. And then I realized, like, oh, shit, that song just has a beat that sounds hella like energy.
Yeah,
and I thought that it was you the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you hear that a lot, but, yeah, how do you feel about people sort of, you know, I mean that shit happens so quickly in beats that it's almost like nobody really has – you might have like a couple of weeks or a month or some shit where your style is your style and then it kind of becomes everybody's style.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I ain't gonna lie. I was mad as hell about that shit when I first heard it. Cause it's like, damn, like I'm not even established. I'm not established yet. You know what I'm saying? This is how I was feeling like when I'm not established. So it's like when I was hearing shit, like different producers that got my same sound kit, my same, like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like damn, I'm not even on yet. Like chill, you know what I'm saying? But it's kind of like when I look back and like look at it now, like I embrace that shit because it's like I got the whole Michigan on that kind of wave right now.
Mm.
It's just dope to see. It just really just show like how impactful I am to the whole culture type shit.
Yeah, because I mean, even if it's not you making the beat, if there's a beat that's popping and it sounds a lot like your shit, it's like anyone who really knows is going to be having the conversation of, oh yeah, like, you know, that style came from energy. But then at the same time, it's kind of on you to continue being an innovator and continue to progress in shit and like really, you know, pushing the sound, because that's going to be the thing that keeps people trying to tune in with your shit. Yeah,
facts. And I just gotta lead the whole way, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's why I'm lining up all the good producers that I fuck with, you know what I'm saying? And that team would form, you know what I'm saying? But I'm leading the way through this shit.
So what's that look like? You putting together other producers, you trying to form like a little collective and shit?
For sure. That okay. That kind of stuff is like it's really like notable names. I ain't got it together all the way, but for sure when I have like Pablo, Jalen, you know, Baby on the track. Really the key hit makers that's been, you know, carrying the sound up, you know what I'm saying? So
nice.
I wanna get them together for sure.
Do you feel like your style, like was it really like who would you say influenced or made you kinda wanna go in the direction that you went in? Because there is like a connection where you think of Flint, you think of it as being like a, you know, old industrial type area and just sort of having like a real gritty feel. And I feel like in a lot of ways, that's a big part of what made a lot of these rappers pop off, was that your style just kind of was like the perfect soundtrack for Rio saying the most offensive shit he could ever think of, or, you know, all this wild shit. Like, mm-hmm. like what influenced you or helped cause you to go in that direction?
First, I got to say, like, Hell of a is a a big influence because he actually like introduced me to like the whole Detroit sound. You know what I'm saying? Like he was the first producer I listened to from Detroit. And then it went on from like Meech and like different like people that made shit for Smooth, and it just all them people like really introduced me to the sound. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't even be making these fast ass beats if I wasn't listening to them. You know what I'm saying? But like what influenced me, I say like it was like I just wanted to hear like some fast shit with a lot of 808. And that's like as simple as it gets. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like that's the whole thing anyway. Like, it's just simple. Like my whole sound is just simple. Like it's not doing too much. It's not, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's what like influenced me, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to hear some fast ass 808s right down the street.
How much have you done for ESTG at this point?
At this point, just 5500 degrees.
Off of the new project or the one before that?
Off the new project.
Okay.
So I did that, and that was like tapped in through barreling and shit like that. And that was kind of, you know, a big ass shit like that. But I'm really just now getting tied into the industry, you know what I'm saying? Really just moving up the ranks type shit.
Because he's somebody that he's from Kentucky. Like sometimes people think he's from Detroit or some shit because he fucks with all artists out there. Yeah. And like his style is a little bit like that. He has his own, you know, distinct flow, sure. I think, as well. But that's one thing I said when I was interviewing him, because I listened to like his like older projects and shit, and I was like, I think one of the biggest things that you did right is that you started getting on faster beats, and that really just like fit your style, and I think that's what kind of blew him up over the course of the past like 6 months or so.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought when I first heard of him, I thought he was from Detroit. I'm like, how long he got like that? It's not the sound. It's really more like what he's talking about and like his like the grit in it. Like you don't really see too many niggas that come up and they like and they just gritty like that. You know what I'm saying? But now I understand, like, you know what I'm saying, looking to him, like he really got something.
Yeah, I read an article about him that was basically like they're talking about like, man, ESTG should be on the top of the world right now. He's doing so good and stuff, but he's still like his demeanor is just like he don't give a fuck, and I'm like, yeah, that's what makes him tight though. It's just that he's sort of like unaffected by whatever. Like he's just kind of like a grimy, low key dude who don't really like care about all this frivolous shit, you know?
Yeah,
and that's what I like about him.
I feel like that's what's gonna carry him a long way though, because it's like you don't get caught in the gimmicks. You know what I'm saying? He just, you know, real to himself. So that I fuck with that too.
You don't get into the drinking or the smoking or.
No, I don't, I can't smoke because it's like that shit fucked me up. That shit, I think too much. I think way too much. Like I damn near had like damn near a heart attack.
Really?
Last time I smoked, like this shit.
How long ago was that?
How long ago? It was like probably like 6 months ago.
Okay.
I was damn near goddamn in my head like. I think way too much, so I know I can't smoke. But drinking smooth, you know what I'm saying? Drinking smooth, but I don't drink too much. But drinking smooth, but smoking, I can't do that shit.
You might want to fuck with these 2020 sour rings. If you can't smoke,
I don't know.
You might want to just nibble a little piece. You might not want to go too crazy right away. You had one, Gina?
I'll be tearing down.
No. Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Gina's high right now. Fuck. Okay. That's good news. Damn, I had no idea. yeah.
Oh my God.
That's good to hear though. Are there any other artists that you have stuff coming out with, or like any artists who reached out to you for beats and shit that you sent to recently that you are like looking forward to having shit? Because I'm sure you have all kinds of shit in the works that hasn't dropped yet.
I don't even be thinking. I just know I got a whole bunch of shit that's coming out. From Jay, Louie, Kid, you know what I'm saying?
Crispy Life Kid, that was one of the first dudes that you worked with as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I think he was like, probably like one of my fifth artists that ever hopped on my beat. Like he top, like in the first five to ever have rapping on Energy Beat. So Yeah, I got shit coming out with everybody. I just can't, I can't think about the shit that's coming out from industry side though. But right. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm assuming, like, in the beginning, did you not have the business side of things down as well as you do now? Like, how did you, like, contrast and compare? What did you have to learn in order to get the business side locked down a little bit more?
I said initially, like, Flint didn't know, like...
Right, nobody in the whole fucking city knew, yeah. I'm assuming.
Nobody knew, like, how to do this shit, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it was so much... It was like so much like friction, like on the business side, like nobody knew what to do. So it's kind of like, now we getting into like producer agreements and all of the publishing and all of the splits. And it's like the splits and shit in the beginning was like stressful. Like I didn't know nothing about that shit. So I'm just like, fuck it.
When you make the song and then you got to figure all that shit out afterwards, it gets super complicated in comparison to like actually knowing what you got going beforehand, right?
Facts. And it's kind of like we had to do a lot of catch up, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like we did shit for a whole year. And then it's like, well, shit, we got the whole world looking at us, but we don't got the business side situated, you know what I'm saying? But now it's... Now everything locked in, you know what I'm saying? Everything pretty locked in. It's just for sure. In that beginning, it was crazy.
Do you have anybody who like helped you get your shit together in that regard? You got like a manager or a team that helped you figure out? Anybody reach out?
I say as we went, like, I got a lawyer. I think firsthand, like it was Bob Celestin's my lawyer, so. That kind of shit helped me out, you know what I'm saying? TQ over there, he kind of helped me out on the business side, you know what I'm saying? My pops learning the business side, because he's my manager right now, too. So, like, just really going through this shit, experiencing this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just learning different shit. So, you're going to naturally learn the business side of the music.
Damn. Your pops must be super fucking proud of you, huh?
Oh, yeah. sure.
What's that like, bro?
You gotta meet him. Like, he a character, bro. Your character for sure.
That I mean, that must be trippy as fuck to, like, you know, just have a kid, you see him doing something at three, you just assume kids are going through phases and who knows what the fuck he's gonna end up doing when he gets older. That must be crazy for him to see you like really having such a big role in the culture of the city.
Yeah.
And you know, he was watching you fucking stir it up all those years.
Yeah, for sure. You gotta get his perspective. He for sure gonna tell you about that shit for sure.
That's dope as fuck. I'm hyped on that.
Yeah.
That's good news. What do you think, like, Rio having to go in and do some time, what do you think that does to the overall energy, no pun intended, of the city?
Oh, that's funny as hell. I feel like Rio sitting down, I feel like it just makes us more motivated. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes us more motivated because that... Like, what he did for the city alone will never go. Like, he a legend. Like, forever gonna be a legend. Mm. Like, no matter what. So, it's like, we just really, we turned. You know what I'm saying? Now we gotta keep this shit going. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to. Like, it's no other choice. So, that's the kind of energy we got going on right now. It's like, we gotta keep pressing.
Yeah, definitely. Free Rio, that's gonna be... Hopefully, you know, hopefully that 5 years turns into like a year and a half or some shit and like, yeah. Don't have to be too ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even when I know the day he get out of that shit, it's going to go right back where it like it never left. So.
Oh, yeah. He was going crazy before that, like just doing so many goddamn features and just putting out so much shit that, you know, he was just like working his ass off up until the fucking moment he had to go in.
Literally, like. Like, that kind of work ethic, like, made me want to keep making beats like that. Like, he worked, like, crazy. I ain't never seen an artist do that many features. Like, him and Mike and Louie and Jay, like, doing all them features, but just Rio alone, like, that's too many. That's crazy. Like, that's too many features. I don't know how much energy he put into that shit. I never rap, but that's crazy.
Mm. When did you get the name, and where exactly did it come from? Because it's kind of perfect, because, like, you know, people be talking about keep that same energy. I got to protect my energy. There's a lot of energy talk these days.
Yeah. I feel like it's like two things to it. Like, energy came from, like, me wanting to be, like, on the physical aspect, I always was like, I want people to hear my beats and I want them to move. Mm. Like, I want people to hear my beats and I want them to actually, like, want to dance. Like, I want you to feel, like, what I just made. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like when I walked in sessions and I seen people just stand still. Mm. Like, I don't ever want that shit to happen with my shit on. You know what I'm saying? But, that's what I came up with. I was a senior, you know, trying to figure out, like, what's my producer name going to be? And it came up with energy, and I dropped the second E, you know what I'm saying? But the other side to it is, like, more, like, on the spiritual level, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, more of, like energy all around us, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more of a, like, being tapped in and, like, knowing, like, your soul is an energy, you know what I'm saying? Mm. We all energy walking around, you know what I'm saying? So it's more like on that level, but, you know, yeah.
That's real. When you're, you know, driving around or going to do something and you're just listening to music for pleasure at this point in your life, what are you likely to be listening to?
I majority listen to, I ain't gonna lie, at first I was just listening to my beats, but I at this point I listen to like potential samples, you know. Like I like sometimes, like, if I got serious, like, in my car right now, so I go like on 50 and I go like on like a groove station, and I'm just listening to all old music. Like, at this point I'm just listening to samples. Like, I can't really listen to my beats no more. I just got to listen to samples and get inspired.
Yeah, like, when you sit down to make beats, what's that usually look like? Like, what's like a good day for you? You're going to sit down and make beats for a couple hours, and you make beats for 10 hours? Like, what's it look like?
A good beat day for me, like, I say, like, I'm sitting down for, like, 12 hours straight.
12?
Yeah, like, wow. 12 hours straight. Like, it might start from, like, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Like, wow. I might just cook all, like, from all day, you know what I'm saying? And that's usually, like, I'll probably fuck around and get, like, 20 beats out of that. But, like a average day, I say, like, 10, like, and that's, like, 5 hours, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's cool, you know what I'm saying? It kind of fluctuates. I'm either tapped in for 12 or 5, you know what I'm saying? But I'm sitting down for hours at a time, for sure.
What, you got any hobbies or anything you like to do outside of just working on the music?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I just be on the game.
Oh,
I just play 2K and make beats.
You nice?
I'm pretty nice. Like, I've been having kind of like conversations. Like, I need to start streaming. Like, cause I just can't be playing 2K for no reason. You know,
like, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Like, I just can't be on the game for no reason. Like, I'm just grinding the SS3 for no reason. Like, that, it makes no sense. Like, cause it's just taking up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, I mean, there's a lot of producers doing good shit on Twitch now, too, that I bet, like, you could probably do some kind of combination of both. Like, people love watching people make beats on Twitch and answer questions. And if you were doing that and playing games and shit, people would probably really fuck with you. You might never get out the house if you start streaming on doing all that shit all the time.
Man, I probably don't need to start doing that shit because I don't like to leave the house. So it's like, if I do that shit, I know I'm gonna be in the crib every day, like, not leaving, probably never going to get groceries. Like, it's already bad. Like, I DoorDash every day. Like, just because I'm lazy, like, I DoorDash, order groceries, all type of shit. Like, it's bad, bro.
How comfortable do you feel right now, money wise? Like, has your life really, really changed from the success you've had musically?
Yeah, I feel real good money wise. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm comfortable to where I don't have to worry about bills. I can buy what I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like, I just don't, I feel like I don't spend it on shit that's typically like fun. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But for sure, I'm like super, super comfortable. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, just let that shit stack. And then, you know, maybe at a certain point, you got enough money built up that you can kind of be like, all right, now I got some money to play with and I could do this, this, and this or whatever. But yeah, I feel like at least at first, especially like if you were, you know, basically broke a couple years ago, I mean, build up that security blanket so that you don't have to worry about ever being in that position again, you know?
Mm-hmm. 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 For sure. It's really, I feel like I always tell people that, like, I ain't really struggle as an adult. Like, I feel like I'd never struggle as an adult because it's kind of like, I did, of course I worked a job, you know what I'm saying? I was in my own apartment at 18, you know what I'm saying? Fresh out of high school, you know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of struggled in that sense, but I still wasn't because I was able to pay the bills, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, all the shit that's coming my way is, like, it's, like, just plus something. It's, like, damn, like I'm making so much to where it's, like, I don't do anything. So, it's just kind of, like, it's just sitting there. So, like, that's why I'm, like, I got to invest. Because it's, like, I don't do shit else.
If you're trading Bitcoin as well as playing 2K and making beats, then your Twitch stream will really be lit.
I actually want to get into that shit, like, it, I want to get into stocks and shit.
Now's a good time with the Bitcoin. The price is kind of low right now.
Yeah.
Might have to hop in. Shit. All right. Anything that we need to be looking forward to in terms of new stuff you got on the way?
You'll know. It'll just be some big booms. For sure.
That's real. Yo, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Been meaning to get this in for a minute. I'm glad we finally got it done. And basically, I mean, hey, everybody follow you on Instagram and tap in if they're trying to get some heat. And best of luck in terms of everything that you're building right now. I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. I appreciate it. It's an honor for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Energy Beats, check us out on YouTube, No Jumper. The patrons are on the screen right now. Shout out to the patreon.com/nojumperfamily. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that shit. Like, comment, subscribe. Nojumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Much love.